In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let the little children come to Christ, and do not hinder them. I know they don't always behave, but don't shoot them a furrowed glance when they are crying or restless. But rejoice that you are privileged to gather with them in here. For childlike faith is the norm. Adult faith is the exception. And if you think that somehow they are not fit to be here because they are a little misbehaved, then neither are we fit to be here. For if we do not become like these little children, then we can never enter the kingdom of God. So the aged adult is also a little child. But both are under attack. The devil is after the adult and the infant. He wants them back. In baptism, Christ has plundered you and them from Satan's kingdom. And now Satan stops at nothing to get them back. And this should frighten you. For you are not pious enough, you are not smart enough, wise enough, and certainly you don't live a good enough life in order to beat back that devil. Children realize this, they realize they need help, but we adults are constantly thinking there is something we can do to make ourselves better and to keep ourselves safe. But you can't even see this enemy, yet you know he's out there watching, waiting for just the right moment to strike when he can claim you as his own. He never takes a break. He never takes a vacation. Neither does he ever sleep. And when he does leave you, for the devil can only be in one place at one time, when he does leave you, he makes sure 100 of his demons are there watching, waiting, so nothing will be missed. If God were to open your eyes, you would flee in terror. And if that's not enough to make you shudder with fear, then Satan also has his inside man, your own sinful flesh. It will fight tooth and nail to drag you down into hell, for our sinful flesh truly believes that hell is better than being with God in heaven. So daily we pray that God would send his holy angels to watch over us and protect us. And we should pray that. For if these angels leave us, the devil will have all power over us. We need these heavenly warriors watching, waiting to beat back Satan's every attack that we, you and I, fail to see. They too never sleep. They too never take a break or a vacation. But unlike the devil who comes and goes, these angels always remain with you. God has assigned them to you to protect you and guard you. So they find no greater joy than in following a toddler around. They find no greater joy than in watching over you, so that the devil may have no power over you. They muzzle that ancient dragon and render him powerless to strike. Yet their weapons are not swords, clubs, or spears. The weapons of these angels are not handguns or concealed weapons of any kind. But their shield is their tongue, and their voice is our defense. For their weapon is the word of God that God has spoken to you is their weapon that beats back Satan as they declare the great and glorious things God has done to save you, and Satan must flee. So more than winged, harp-carrying creatures, these angels are mouths that speak the word of God and sing his praises. So God sent them to the prophet Zechariah, or to the priest Zechariah, to announce John's birth. God sent an angel to Mary to announce the birth of the Savior, that she would be the mother of God. God sent an angel to the shepherds in Bethlehem announcing that his son had been born. And then a great company of those angels praised God. God sent an angel to announce to the women that Jesus is no longer in that grave, but he had been raised. The angel's weapon are their words. The word of God, which beats back the devil. The devil too fights with words. Think of how he deceived Adam and Eve in the beginning. He doesn't hold a knife to their throat. He doesn't beat them up physically a little bit to get them to fall away, but he speaks. He lies. for he is the father of lies, and it's what he does, even this day. All of this is not to deny the fact that the angels physically protect us. They do physically defend us and protect us. And we thank God for that. They carry out God's will on this earth in the way that God himself desires. But what good is it if these angels physically keep us from all pain and suffering, and yet the devil ravages our souls? They see things that you and I fail to see. We often are obsessed with the physical things in life. That if our life is free from physical pain or suffering, and our finances and our family are all in order, then life is good, God must be pleased with us, and the angels must be with us. The reverse is also true. When we encounter hardship or chronic pain or sadness or a broken family, we assume the devil is attacking and ravaging us and the angels are far from us. But the angels see things that we fail to see. They see that the devil's greatest weapon is his words. And that the angel's greatest defense, our greatest protection, is the word of God. A word steeped in divine blood. It tells you all that God has done to save you. This word converts you into little children so that you too can enter the kingdom of God. This word is breathed into water so that heaven becomes your second womb and you are born again by water and the Holy Spirit. This word cuts off your foot and your hand when it causes you to sin. For you confess that you are nothing but a sinner and cannot save yourself. But then that word raises you to a new life and restores your feet and your hands, yes, your whole body back to purity, back covered in the righteousness of Christ. That word took on flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin so that you might eat and drink his flesh and blood. That word makes you little children and so makes you the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The worst that the devil can muster cannot overcome this word of God. He roars daily, but the angels prevent his attack with one little word. Daily, Satan accuses you that you're not good enough. Daily, the blood-soaked word absolves you of all your sins and promises you the kingdom of heaven. For the word made flesh has thrust his cross into the skull of the devil. And then he hung himself upon it. Stricken for your sins, wounded for your transgressions, it is Christ who has overcome the devil once and for all. The price has been paid not by an angel, but by God himself. Death has been conquered. Sin is no more. The devil is powerless. You are saved. You are free. You are given back paradise. And the angels of God rejoice over you. But the devil is filled with fury. Woe to the earth, for this is where the devil lives. He knows that his time is short. He knows that he has lost the battle on Calvary. He knows that soon Christ will come and toss him into the abyss of hell to be tormented forever and ever. So he works like a madman. He's crazy, frantically trying to do whatever he can to get you away from Christ. He'll use physical pain if necessary, but chiefly he uses his word. He uses his lies. He'll use them in tandem, physical pain and suffering and his word, but chiefly he wants you to doubt God's word. He uses deceptive teachings and half-truths and peer pressures. And though you face these things daily, you have no need to fear this devil. For God has sent his angels to watch over you in all your ways. They do prevent much physical harm from coming upon us, but chiefly they beat back that devil so he cannot have our soul. They speak God's word. They declare the wonders that God has done for us, wonders centered on his cross and baptism and the supper, and drive back Satan so we are safe. Christ has overcome him. You are baptized into Christ. Therefore, you have overcome the devil. And so here we sit in the midst of this spiritual battle raging around us, demons and angels warring above us. Here we sit as little children, completely helpless, trusting only in our God and Savior. Yes, we need food and clothes. Yes, we need physical protection, and God sends the angels to do that. But chiefly, we need our souls protected. We need to hear His word. It alone is our joy, our hope, our delight, our song. It alone is our salvation. And it alone is our children's hope of salvation. I know they don't always behave, but they need to be here. I know that you often wrestle them. Still, they need to be here. Let's not distract them by shooting them furrowed glances or by smiling and waving at them, making them the center of attention instead of Christ. Let's give them the seat of honor up here in the front so they can see what is going on, for these ceremonies are meant to teach them what they need to know about Christ. They too need His forgiveness. They too need to hear His word. They too love God and desire to hear His word even as you do, for they are the epitome of faith. So how wonderful is this brief little hour. As young and old, infants and adults gather together as one family to rest in the Word of God. It's a time of rest, a time of peace, a time to gather with our family, and no devil, no evil angel can be with us here. For here we are surrounded completely by the Word of God in our songs, in our hymns, in the words we say. It alone is our defense. These angels fill the pews with us. They've gathered here with us, though you do not see Him. They sing their songs with us, with our songs, though you do not hear them. And they rejoice that you and I have gathered here as little children to receive the gifts of our Savior through preaching and eating. So right now we have gathered as little children with Michael, with all the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, to praise our Lamb that has won the victory for us, and then to receive that victory in His word and supper. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.